and welcome to another edition of Bijoons. With me, Eulalie Wickham-Ashby. And today, as usual, I'm very pleased, extremely pleased, to have in the studio with me, Anthony Parker from the USA. We will talk about himself and what are some of his goals, ambitions, some of the setbacks he experienced in life. But overall, just continuing the conversation about disability and how we can make our world more inclusive. So welcome to the program, Anthony.
Well, welcome.
So Anthony, tell us a little about yourself and what life is like for you living in the USA, United States of America.
Well, my name is Anthony. Been living in the United States for some time, and we specifically referring to being visually impaired, there have been some problems that I've faced with, especially with trying to find the right job and what have you. But over and all, in a nutshell, you know, the accessibility to certain pieces of equipment has been, you know, on a great scale. I've been able to obtain the equipment needed in order to function. I did go to high school and graduate from college, you know, without the equipment that I needed. It probably would have been a much tedious task, but over and all, everything has been okay as far as, you know, trying to obtain the education. But, you know, after I received the education and tried to apply that to specific jobs, I mainly had to create my own types of jobs.
Okay. So, Anthony, tell us a little more about being able to access equipment to help you in your educational journey. Because I want to compare it to what happens here in Barbados, because generally, parents, schools, or service clubs, other well-wishers would assist individuals with disabilities to obtain equipment when they are in, you know, the educational system. So what is it like in the USA?
Well, there is one organization that comes to mind, the National Federation for the Blind, that does a great deal of assisting with, you know, if there are individuals who need equipment, they can do assessments and then acquire them adequately. And if there's training that's needed, they do that as well. And also there's a organization which helps individuals find job entitled Vocational Rehab Services. And they do an adequate amount of job placement for individuals. But as far as the equipment, it's there. You just have to tailor your resources to whatever types of equipment you need. There's the computers. There are accessible other pieces of equipment that you can use in order to make your transition from one part of your life to the next, like JAWS, there's NVDA. So over and all, I mean, the accessibility to computers and other technology, it's there.
Okay. So let's go back to your childhood. And I want you to share with us what your experience was like in school and then in college.
Great. I went to, before then, they changed the name. It was the School for the Blind. Over and all, I stayed at that school for, I think, about maybe 13, 14 years. But in the process, I was mainstream to a public school. And that allowed me to become acclimated to the public world, quote unquote, you know, the sighted world, you know, allowing myself to, you know, deal with individuals who are sighted. Although, you know, I'm the only sighted, blind person in my family, it was easier for me to become acclimated. But over and all, the school for the visually impaired, they kind of got me ready for what to expect. And by providing the equipment, the training, and when I mean training, mobility training, and just allow me the chance to be independent and what have you. So I definitely thank them for that, as well as learning to read Braille and, you know, other means of equipment that was provided for me as well.
Okay. Now, you talk about going to college, and what was your field of study?
Criminal justice.
Okay. And have you been able to find employment in that sector?
No, I haven't. I can't say that I haven't tried, but I haven't received any jobs. Although there are, you know, connections that I have tapped into, and people have told me, well, you know, if something comes up, I'll, you know, give you a shout or contact you. But I really wish that I could have, but unfortunately, I didn't. I had to pursue other avenues such as music. I, you know, helped my mom with a restaurant that she had. So it was like mainly little other jobs that provided me with a small source of income. But it also allowed me the opportunity to learn how to get involved in the workforce and deal with other people, which is what I definitely needed to do.
Okay. So you said that you have studied criminal justice. So I want to delve into a short discussion here. We are hearing so much about Black Lives Matter and all the criminal injustices that are happening towards, you know, brown people, Black people. Sometimes we don't focus on what happens to the white people. What are your thoughts around this whole topic and how, you know, your background, your study in criminal justice, what would be some of the strategies you would want to see being employed?
Well, I'm very passionate when it comes to situations like this. I mean, I speak, well, right now I'm a bit reserved, but I'm definitely very passionate. So I speak very forcefully when I talk on issues such as this. There's a great deal of injustice. I feel that there are changes that need to be made in terms of maybe starting from with the training of policemen in terms of how to deal with individuals. While I was in college, I studied about police community, police relations. There isn't much of that anymore, and I think that's necessary to have the policemen deal with different ethnic groups to get out and learn the neighborhoods, to be more understanding of people's feelings and things like that. So I'm kind of like, you know, upset that they kind of went away from that because it's definitely needed. But in a nutshell, yes, I definitely feel that there are some changes that need to be made. My opinion is, you know, to start with the policing as it starts there, trickle down to the other divisions of the criminal justice systems, towards the courts and things of that nature. So,
okay. Would you say that there's information or statistics around people with disabilities, or even more specifically, blind people and their involvement with the criminal justice system? Do you have lots of cases of people who are blind and visually impaired having to go before the law courts?
Unfortunately, no. Just maybe a few instances that happening. And that's only because I've been friends with, or these people have been acquaintances of mine. And they have, you know, gotten sort of caught up in the system. But so I'm sorry to say that I don't have the percentages in terms of individuals who are impaired that may have gotten caught up in the criminal justice system or anything of that nature. But, you know, I'm quite sure there are out there. And, you know, we just have to do our research to mainly find them. But most experiences that I know of come from people that I've become acquaintances with.
Okay. I know that you also have YouTube channel. Tell us, what is the focus of your YouTube channel and how has that experience been?
The main focus of my YouTube channel is to bring awareness. I'm sort of like a lot of other channels, bring awareness, but with a different twist, just allowing individuals who are visually impaired, who have other forms of impairment, to come on and use this channel as a platform to sound off, you know, whether it be wanting to discuss how hard it is to be impaired visually or any other form of impairment, or the positive sides, showing how individuals, you know, live from day to day, who are impaired, live from day to day as far as cooking, as far as participating in sports, as far as providing technology. So it's an open-ended type of channel. And on the other spectrum, I allow individuals who are sighted to come and propose whatever questions they may have that they, you know, are kind of puzzled about. So, you know, it's a channel for both visually impaired and sighted individuals, or just individuals who are impaired, you know, overall, to come and, you know, just share whatever it is that they wish to share. And it's been in existence for about 3.5 years. And the reception has been overwhelming. You know, people are, you know, subscribing. They love the content. I'm quite sure at some point they're going to be people who hate it, but right now, they are the driving force for what's keeping me going, especially within the visually impaired community. They are, you know, enjoying the content that's posted.
Great. So you said the response has been pretty overwhelming, but have you been able, like, to compare, really do an analysis of what the experiences of the blind are like in the Western world versus the blind living in Africa or the Asia European regions?
And that's a good question, because I just did an interview with a gentleman from a country in South America. I can't think of the name. But anyway, I'm definitely doing that. And over the years in which I've interviewed several people, I found that there's a great deal of discrepancy. There's a great deal of differences as opposed to what's offered in other countries and what's offered here in the United States. I mean, we, on one hand, should be blessed because I've heard some stories about, you know, not having the proper equipment from people in other countries or just the lack of training that's offered. So you know, that was a great question. Oh, it was in Uganda. So, okay. Definitely. There are some disparities.
Mm-hmm. Let's backtrack to the whole topic of living independently, because you said that, you know, you were able to go to college and then come out and look for employment. And do you live on your own? Are you living in a complex? Do you live at home with your mom?
Currently, I'm living with my fiance, but I have had the luxury, if you will, of living on my own, especially during my college days and a little bit afterward. So I strongly feel that if you have the ability to be independent, please do so. Because, I mean, I've checked out several Facebook groups, and within those groups, they've had individuals who are up in age and still living at home. And I don't know what the situation is, but, you know, if you have the opportunity, such as myself, to be independent, please do so. In closing, I've had the luxury of doing both. But right now, if I had to, I'd be ready. I'd be equipped. I'd be, you know, willing and have the skills to live on my own.
So would you say that most of your independent living skills came from living at home with your family? Were they the ones who mainly taught you how to, you know, take care of yourself, like make your own breakfast, cook a meal, wash your clothing, mop, vacuum, all of that?
Yes, I'd say that, plus the school that I had gone to, they had a home ec training that was taught there. So it was sort of both, and just friends and cousins just basically showing me things. So I incorporated all that into one.
Lovely.
Yeah, exactly, and did it like that.
Yes, yes. And you mentioned that you are into music as well. Tell us about that, because I love music as well. I may not be able to sing for the professional dollar, but I certainly enjoy singing and I love music. Are you into playing music, singing?
Well, in high school, I played the saxophone. I played the drums, and I was able to pick out a few notes on the keyboard. But my main thing was producing music. I was into rap music for a while, where I produced for several groups and things like that. But overall, I'm a connoisseur of all types of music. I mean, especially from the islands. I love music like from Jamaica, Caribbean, and things like that when I want to relax. But overall, I love country music. I'm just, you know, gospel, old time gospel, rap, R&B. I mean, and I credit a lot of that to my dad, who was a music lover. So from blues to Zydeco, which is a form of music down here in the South, I'm a lover of all types.
Okay, so we have to introduce you to some good Bajan music.
Okay, sure. I'm open. I'm definitely open to a lot of different.
Yes, our sweet Calypso and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Okay, so Anthony, you are very active. You know, you're into several Facebook groups and you're into the YouTube channeling and so on. What would you want to encourage persons who are blind or other people with disabilities who may not be employed and are just at home? What would you advise them to do? How can they utilize their time a bit more effectively?
That's a great question, because that's what I'm doing now with the disappointment of not finding the job that I wanted or thinking that I was going to be able to use my major. I decided to, and other people could take this advice as well, just to create my own job, whatever it is that you think that you could do, try to, you know, basically create that and build from that. Because, you know, if you exalted all your resources in terms of trying to find employment, and not saying give up, but you see that you're having a hard time, just sit back and think about what I could do for myself and sort of put things into motion in that aspect, because it is hard. don't give up for one. I know that's an old cliche, but really, if you have the drive and if you want to do more as a visually impaired person, then there are opportunities that you can create. Maybe, you know, sell something, maybe sell some juice or something, just, you know, whatever, candy, whatever, and create that, because that can be created, you know, into a very lucrative business. So, I mean, even though we are visually impaired, it doesn't mean that we can't think for ourselves, you know, and be creative. So don't just think that this is the end because you have lost your sight or you lost a limb or you are hearing impaired or whatever the case may be, because you still are an existing body and you still can think and, you know, you can still be productive. And I know that's easier said than done, but it'll happen.
Yes, because you made it happen. And I can hear the drive coming, the passion in your voice. So tell us about your employment now.
I'm currently working at the Lighthouse, and I've been there for 8.5 years. And it's a plant job or factory job. And though it wasn't the job that I wanted, it was a job of choice at that time because I had my own vending stand for 15 years, and that was sort of toward the end, was sort of going under. So the Lighthouse was a job of choice because I wanted to stay in the workforce. I wanted to build my skills and my resume up and what have you. So it's a packaging job working on an assembly line. And I've been there for 8 years. But within those 8 years, I did not lose the drive of wanting to move on, because as I pursued the job, found out that the chances of me moving up was slim to none, because there were no jobs for individuals who are visually impaired at the Lighthouse in this particular one. So, continue pushing. And finally, I don't want to jinx myself, but I think that doors are opening now for me to work at home with a federal government job, which I enjoy. It's more of a customer service type based job. And I feel that I'm going to enjoy that because I love dealing with people, love talking, and I just love presenting myself and what have you. So with that being said, working at the Lighthouse has had some positive sides.
Of course, there are always positives in all situations. It's for us to see the positives and the opportunities in each situation, negative or positive.
Correct.
Well, I will wish you luck, and I know that you will succeed with that new job.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And Anthony, now, as we talk about disability, when you look at your state, how would you say your state has really been providing for the disabled? And which state do you live in?
Louisiana. At times, and I think this is more so because of me wanting to do more, I felt that they're, and I still strongly feel that way a little bit, but not as much, felt that they weren't doing as much as they could. But it could have been, you know, and I don't know, could have been due to certain circumstances, which vocational rehab services may not have been able to provide at the time. But I want one thing that they have done is provided me with agencies and agents who were, you know, they weren't successful, but they did try to find some job placement and whatnot. So this is a touch and go situation. You have to find the right agency to deal with to be able to find the job that you have been looking for. So it's a hit and miss when it comes to that. But overall, vocational rehab services, they have done, my opinion, the just dessert in terms of trying to place me in some form of employment.
Okay, nice. And I think that type of effort helps to build confidence within persons who are blind and visually impaired and the disabled generally. That's because then you're seeing that other persons are behind you in trying to create that integrated approach to employment, to education, to everything, which then makes a better society.
That's correct.
Wonderful. So what are some of your future goals now, Anthony? What are some of the ambitions that you have for yourself? Are you going to write a book? Or are you going to create more music? Are you going to try new things?
I don't know. I'm just basically, once I get over the hurdle of getting this new job under my belt, then I'll see them. But the main thing, I'm going to continue as much as I can to make this YouTube channel go forward and try to, you know, at least get on a lot of other platforms as far as pushing my agenda, which, is, as I mentioned, has been very receptive in most people's lives and what have you. So just, you know, continue that. And I want to try to find some way that I could make, you know, enough money to where I can put back so my little boy will be, you know, a little better off than I was. So that's main agenda for me, just to create some type of business that I can, you know, save money and put back.
Wonderful. Now, as you mentioned your son, let's talk about being a father. How has that experience been like? And what are some of your own hopes and dreams for your son?
The experience has been great. It has definitely been a learning experience. And I don't just want to sound cliche-ish, but it really has, because each day or each experience that I have with him, I learn a great deal. He learns a great deal about me. He learns about me being visually impaired and learns to deal with me accordingly as a totally blind person. Me, he learned that. I saw it coming around the age of maybe 5. He started to understand, but the experience in a nutshell has been great. My goal for him is just to be happy at whatever he decides to do in life and pursue it. Right now, he wants to be a police officer. So, you know, that may change. I'm quite sure it will be 1,000 different times. But right now, just whatever it is that's going to make him happy, because I'm not going to try to dictate his life, you know.
Well, Anthony, just as we're getting all excited about fatherhood and parenting, our time has caught up with us.
Well, I'll be back another time.
Yes, definitely. So I want to say thank you very much for sharing so openly with us.
Thank you so much. I really mean that, because I like interviewing other individuals, but I love it when people put me on the hot seat.
Okay. So we definitely will, in the future, have you back and really have a more stimulating conversation, because I think we do need to take the discussion to new levels and allow our society to see the talent, the intellect, the skills that are within us. So I want to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
With you again.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudley Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Anthony Parker from USA, the United States of America. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. And you can email me on visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados, @gmail.com. And of course, you can visit VOB929.com website to check this and past episodes of Vision. So until next week, stay safe, be productive, and love yourself as you love your neighbors. So until then,